Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 4th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 76, the second paragraph, that begins with, "When ready, we say something like this." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kathy B., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Stephanie L. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Penny L. C., Robin P., and Eileen M. The share ID for Tuesday, August 3rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,476. That's 17476. And this morning's Wednesday, August 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 17,485. That's 17485. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Kathy B. I'm from Oklahoma, and this is the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you, Kathy B. Stephanie L., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 76, the second paragraph that begins with "When ready." We say something like this, and Penny L.C., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. So what is step 7? Reminding myself, it's humbly asking Him to remove our shortcomings. So I come in prayer humbly, and I'm given this 7-step prayer to pray. And I need to be ready. And what does that mean? When ready? It means for me, am I ready for God's will? Am I ready to be changed? And that willingness is also it's a surrendering process, but it's also an action process because it's what I do going forward to be aware of those defects that I've determined and just to be watching for them and turning them over to my higher power. So I've got work to do here. It's not a passive action, even though I am humbly asking, but I'm not just expecting God to do everything for me. I need to be vigilant as well in the process. And yet, if a character defect remains, it's not that I've learned for myself. It's not that I've done it wrong in any means. What I see that character defect that still remains as is something that is, it's there to teach me something. So I need to be looking at it and see when it comes up and why, and What is it that it's meant to show me? So this is a very short paragraph in terms of it being the entire step that we're given in the big book. And yet it's crucial because I need to be able to be focused on my humility now and really realize that it's not me that's going to do this changing, it's God. I just have to be willing and aware and open. And thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. Okay, we're on page 76, the second paragraph. When ready, we say something like this. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who has not shared in the past 3 days?
Larry G.
Larry G.
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T.
Jordan L.
Robin P.
Jordan L. and Robin P. Okay, let's stop there. Good lineup. So I have Larry G., Leslie M., Eileen M., Mary Ellen T., Jordan L., and Robin P. So good morning, Larry G. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Larry G. from California. You know, because Bill has given such such little attention to the 6 and 7, I always thought that these steps were like the deep breath before the plunge into 8 and 9. When I had a different perspective, I learned much different in 2007 when I had a personal crisis. And my sponsor at the time, that program, we spent a lot of time on step 6 and 7. And I realized today, in order for me to be successful in all other 11 steps, especially 10, 11, 12, I have to be successful doing a step 7. And I'm a really humble person. I really am. You know, when I get a DUI and gone to jail for that, or when I have been fired because I've said out loud that they need me more than I need them. And when it pertains to this program, when I'm in the food and a horrible relapse and want to die, I suddenly become very humble. I'm not a humble person when things are going well. And right now, I'm a little scared because I have backed off. I don't have the desperation urgency that I had just a month ago. For example, in this call, I'm on this call Monday through Friday, but I'm multitasking. What I know is multitasking is a lie. There's no such thing as multitasking. My brain can't do two things at once. I'm doing other things. I'm making my lunch. I'm texting people. I'm judging people share. And I'm afraid. Those are ominous warnings, as Bill talks about in Bill's story, that a relapse is imminent. And lately on these calls, I hear people that I have a lot of respect for who have had long-term absence this program who've relapsed. And that frightens me because I'm doing all things right now that indicate a relapse is in the future. So I think, you know, I did a 10th step. It got my full attention. If anybody's got some feedback on this, welcome the call. My name is Larry G., G for grandiose, and I'm out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. Leslie M., good morning. You are up, followed by Eileen M.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you so much for your service this morning. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the thing that really has always hit me with this prayer is, you know, it says, "My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad," you know, and what that reinforces for me all the time, every day, whenever I think about it, is that I don't have a clue what is good and what is bad. I don't have a clue what is going to be useful to someone else today. And that's for me where the humility comes in. The humility is, okay, God, you know, once again, this is just reminding me, yeah, Leslie, you know pretty much nothing, you know, and that's where I had to get, you know, my step one experience was I had to be powerless over my thinking because that's, you know, the things I thought I knew were the things that were going to get me in trouble. And this is once again telling me, I have to give everything to God, and He's going to decide what's useful today. And it may be something that I view as, you know, maybe my one of my biggest defects of character, lying, is going to be useful in some other area today. And I'm going to tell a lie, you know, which is like, uh-oh, I shouldn't be doing that. But I don't know, you know, I use this analogy a lot. You know, I think that I have these two threads, and I'm on the back of the tapestry. So the back of the tapestry, the threads are just going everywhere. You couldn't tell. And that's the thing, is God can see the big picture on the front of the tapestry. I don't have a clue, you know. And for me, as I said, that's the humility. I don't have a clue. I don't know what the right thing is. And that's what I've learned, is that before I went, you know, when I was in the food, I went through life thinking, I know what's the right thing for everybody. And I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to get my way. And now it's just, yeah, I know pretty much nothing, you know, and it's really suitable for me. You know, it just really continues to put me in that position where I can say, okay, God, what's next? Okay, what do I have to do now? Here I am. Take me and do with me what you will, and show me what I need to do. And hopefully, you know, I'll be able to do that. And I know that, I certainly know it, and there's a Thomas Merton prayer. I know that that's my desire, is to please you. And I hope that the fact that I want to please you works, you know. So, but that's the humility, is I don't have a clue what exactly should stay with me today and what should not be here. So I'm just going to let it up to God, and you know, he's going to do with me what he will. And I know it's going to be the best thing. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. in New York. Eileen M., good morning. You're up, followed by Mary Ellen T.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, this has been a great discussion so far. I've really enjoyed what people are sharing. You know, I've said this prayer so many times in the last few years, you know, and I never really understood it that well. You know, it's when you say these prayers, sometimes you say them over and over, it's almost like you're just saying words and they don't mean anything. But, you know, reading it this morning, I'm reading this line. It says to remove those defects that stand in the way of my usefulness, you know, the ones that block me from my usefulness to God and to others. You know, it doesn't say remove all my character defects. And to me, that implies that some of them could be useful to God. And I always wondered, what did that mean? Like, which ones are useful? And I don't know which ones are useful. So I like what was said about humility. The word humility in the dictionary, I looked it up, it means modest view of one's own importance. So if I don't know what defects would be useful, you know, there's that humility. And sometimes, you know, there's defects that I don't really want to have God remove them. I kind of want to hang on to them. And it does say that we can ask for willingness. So, and we don't have to wait for willingness to say the seven-step prayer. You know, we can just ask for willingness. And, you know, I can also, you know, I've also learned to ask God to show me a new way to be, because, you know, the reason I hang on to the defects, some of them, you know, is that I don't know how else to be. So I'm asking God to show me a new way to think about things and to act, you know, so that's part of it too. So I never, you know, it's amazing. I never really thought that any defects would be useful to God. I just never didn't have that knowledge and awareness. So I'm really grateful that we're reading this. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Eileen M. in New Hampshire. And Mary Ellen T., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Mary Ellen T. is in Tango, and I live in Oregon. And, you know, this prayer has been a part of what I try to use to put myself in a place of humility when reaching out to higher power, especially when I'm faced with character defects that have become pretty painful to me. This is a prayer that I go to. I try to list the prayers that I use on the front page of my big book so that I can I can easily reference them, like the third step prayer and the sixth and the seventh step prayer. You know, what really speaks to me though is how, you know, how my character defects keep me from being able to be useful to God and to higher and to my fellows that I would serve. And, you know, that includes people that I interact with on just a day-to-day basis in the world, people that I work with. And, you know, sometimes those character defects are, you know, repeatedly show up, and I have experience humility of, you know, reaching out, asking higher power to remove these. And that's a big piece of what my program has been about, is practicing a lot of willingness and acting as if and as somebody else has mentioned too, just praying really to even have the willingness in the first place. And you know, the character defects of you know, that have been mentioned of, you know, maybe they are helpful to others, but I can tell you when they're not helpful to me and they're feeling pretty painful, I'm thinking in terms of, you know, what is the opposite of that character defect? You know, what would higher power have me be in relation to what's that opposite of that defect? And so I try to sit with that and think about ask higher power to enter into my mind and to help me identify what are some character opposites. And I think about those and I try to be intentional about, you know, how is that going to show up in my life when I'm interacting with coworkers on Zoom meetings, and you know, or when I'm becoming short and impatient with my family members or standing in line, you know, that what would higher power have me be? So, you know, the beautiful gift of willingness is something that I've had to learn about and pray for and practice repeatedly as I go through these steps and as I walk throughout my day. That's the characteristic that Bill tells us is indispensable, the honesty, the open-mindedness, and that willingness. And I'm just so grateful that this message of willingness is, you know, put before me on such a regular basis. That's it for me. I pass.
Oops. Thank you, Mary Ellen T. in Oregon. And Jordan L., you're up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Jordan. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. yeah, it sort of struck me that... yeah, gratitude for being here and abstinent. step 6 and 7, I there's not much said about it in the big book, right? And it definitely, these are two steps that have really developed and blossomed for me throughout my time in program. So definitely not, they're not something that I took once and just sort of like set aside and moved on, you know. I'm an advocate for going through all 12 steps over and over and over again. Like this stuff really does solve all of your problems. and I learn more every single time I go through them, and I surrender more every time I go through them. I'm a fighter, man, and I will fight until the very end. And I'll hold on to stuff. I will hold on to grudges and secrets and all kinds of stuff. I'll hold on to stuff and I won't even know that I'm holding on to it, you know? And so this, like, it gets revealed over and over and over again. And I guess what struck me this morning is there's a correlation between steps 2 and 3 and 6 and 7. It's very much about being, like, ready and then surrendering, you know. And it's like a pattern that is all throughout the steps. It's in 10 and 11 too, being ready or aware and then surrendering. With step seven, I really had to come to see that this is good and bad. This is both my cooperation and my resistance. God wants it all, as far as I can tell. Not just the good parts of me, not just the bad parts of me. And sometimes the good gets used for evil, and sometimes the bad gets used for good, you know? And I don't really, like it was said, the humility is, I don't really know. I'm not God. I can't see the big picture. And so this is like the surrender where I'm really, I really understand how it is that I stop playing God, you know? So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordanelle in Colorado. And before I take you, Robin, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 76, the second paragraph. When ready, we say something like this. And I'll be taking some more names after Robin. So go ahead, please, Robin.
Thanks. Hi, this is Robin P. in Costa Rica. And I am sharing along with the wild parrots who are singing in my ears so wonderfully this morning. You know, I say this prayer every day when we're hiking or we're walking at the beach. My husband and I say it along with the third and the 11th and a couple other prayers. And this was the prayer that I felt afraid of saying. And it's so funny that I love the third step prayer and I love the 11th step prayer. And this prayer felt like, oh no, what am I praying for? Be careful what you're praying for. I always remember hearing if you pray for patience, God would give you things to become patient about. And so I thought, I'm never praying for patience. And now, you know, when it says, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you, my fellows, I thought, oh my gosh, this is gonna get tricky. This is gonna be challenging. I'm gonna have to really grow and surrender. Will I have to become a nun? You know, and it's just, it's having faith while surrendering these defects of character which stand in the way of my usefulness to you, my fellows. And grant me, I always thought it, until today, I always thought it said, grant me your strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And it says, grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And, you know, I want God to have all of me. And I always remember hearing speakers share, like, you know, it's not that we're supposed to be made clear white as snow and that, you know, we're not going to have any more defects of character. It's we're going to be us and God will use us, even our defects of character, for good. That, you know, we're all human beings. And that's what God gets to use us through. And sometimes God has used me miraculously through my defects of character. And when I've had to make an amends to somebody or, you know, God can do anything with anything. And it reminds me of the 10th step. It's not if I'm ever wrong once in a blue moon. It's when I am wrong. And so, you know, I'm a human being having I'm a spiritual being having a human experience here. And I just get to keep practicing every day and surrendering my will to God's and listening. You know, I have 2 ears and 1 mouth. I get to listen twice as much as I talk. And I feel like we go to the beach every day and swim and hike, and I can hear God more easily in nature. And I've just been so grateful, one day at a time, for the peace. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. I'm so grateful, God, to share. Thank you so much, Kathleen, and everyone, for your service.
And thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. The parrots in the background. Okay, we're on page 76, the second paragraph. When ready, we say something like this. And if you have not shared Monday or Tuesday, I'm ready for some names.
Simma M.
Was that Jenna M?
Simma.
Oh, Blanca Simma M, okay. B. And Blanca B.
Leah R.
Jay L.
Was it Leah?
Lear.
Okay.
Careful.
Georgie.
Okay, I heard a few names come in. A man with a G.
Georgie.
Oh, George E. Okay.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Danielle M.
Danielle M. Okay, let's stop there. Who is? Okay, I heard a couple of names. Who came in before JL?
Michelle R.
Michelle R. Okay, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to all of you, but I have Sima M, Blanca B, Leah R, George E, Veronica B, Danielle M, Michelle R, and JL, and we probably won't get to everyone, but we'll see how this goes. So go ahead, please, Sima M.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. I'm so glad to hear so many people share about the seventh step, the same thing that I do, because I had heard from many people that I take my defects of character and I take the opposite, and that's what I pray for. And I didn't, I don't subscribe to that because exactly as everyone else shared, it's not up to me. Sometimes God does want to use my defects for his purposes. And so therefore, I leave it up to him what he will remove and what he won't remove. My only job is in step six to be willing, and step seven to humbly ask. And I don't get to decide, as was stated before by many of the people, that it's not up to me. And therefore, it's not up to me what gets removed. It's not up to me when it gets removed. And it's not up to me if it comes back. So I will pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sima M. And Blanca B., you're up, followed by Leah R. Go ahead, Blanca.
I forgot that it was Thursday. I was like,
okay, somebody's unmuted. Do we have Blanca B. on the line? Star one to unmute Blanca. Okay, I'm going to move to Leah R. Star one to unmute Leah.
Can I be heard?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thank you for your service. Thanks for the shares. It's always been a humbling experience, you know, to share, do the work, you know, to have God remove my character defects, pray. It's humbling. I fight it sometimes because I see, I'm so sure how my life should go. How, you know, there's certain situations that I'm powerless over, I'm helpless over, and I'm getting into my character defects of panic, hysteria, you know, controlling, and it's not automatic that I want God to remove it. I just want God, you know, God to save me, to do what I think needs to be done in the situation, because it all seems like nothing is being done. You know, when it comes to you know, this situation that I have in my living situation right now, I really, really need God's help there. And you know, when it comes to the food, putting down the food and asking God to remove my character defects, you know, that you know, comes naturally. But when it comes to situation where I I'm feeling very helpless and powerless. You know, that's where the struggle comes into. You know, let go and let God, to trust why I'm still there. Well, to trust that God has a better plan for me. You know, what helps me with my character defects a lot, which people remind me to say the set-aside prayer, help me set aside everything I think I know about God, about the steps, that I may have an open mind and new experience with all these things. It's all humbling. I think when I put down the food, I stop eating the alcoholic foods I'm addicted and allergic to, I think I pick up my character defects. Was that time?
Yes.
Did you say time? I'll just wrap up. I pick up my character defects when I put down the food, and that's, you know, and I forget that I can't get out of it myself. So that's why I'm here. We're doing it together. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah R. And Blanca B., are you there? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move. So George E., good morning. You're up, followed by Veronica B.
Yeah, this is George E., covering compulsive eater in Ohio. I really appreciate all the shares this morning. I feel like my mind is expanding. You know, just reading the prayer for me at first was all I could do. And to me, the opposites aren't always what they seem to be. I mean, some of them are pretty obvious. I mean, you know, patience, impatience. But having God remove my impatience isn't automatically going to make me patient. You know, it might give me some serenity for a minute or two, but it doesn't remove the defect for good. I've always been caught by that phrase. I guess I should quote the source, but I'm not sure he's even original. He said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And I think it goes into the shadow of they don't know what they do. In other words, if I'm hurt, it's my responsibility, not theirs. And granted, we're not working that step yet, I guess. But, you know, why did I feel detached? Why did I feel abandoned? You know, those are not really good questions, because why is usually not the question. You know, it's how. And so I love the fact the book gives me an algorithm. You know, it tells me to say the prayer even if I don't understand the prayer. I particularly liked what was said about being afraid. It never occurred to me that I really was afraid of this, because I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to live without character defects. Not that I'm aiming for perfection. You know, that's what humility tells me. But I think I'll keep coming back, because whatever it's doing, it seems to be working, albeit slowly. I guess that gets back to impatience again. So thanks for having this meeting, and thank you for helping me be absent, and have a good day, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, George E. in Ohio. And Veronica B., you're up, followed by Danielle M. Go ahead, Veronica.
Good morning, Veronica, compulsive overeater and bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This is a beautiful prayer. Specifically, I love when it says, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character. Well, up until now, I've done an inventory, and I've been able to identify my character defects that block me from God. For me, the chief activator of my defects is self-centered fear. I know today when I feel uncomfortable, irritated, or depressed, it's me being in fear. I'm having some kind of fear. That could be fear of failure, fear of others' opinions, fear of losing what I have, fear of not getting what I want. All these feelings and thinking lead me and want me to go to the food. So this is where I get to ask God for help. And God has always been with me. I just have to seek him, and I have to be willing to ask for help and not do it my own way. And without God's help, I don't know how to do his will. Without him, you know, I go back to my old life, my old thinking, because it's my thinking that gets me into the selfishness and self-centered fear. I can think of one character defect that I, an old idea that I have is, I have a sister who's very difficult to be around, and I have to dig deep down inside to be nice to her because she's a sick girl. And every time I'm nice to her, even though she's not nice to me, I would tell my sponsor, like, it's not fair, I have to be nice to her. And every time I'm nice to her, she wins. And my sponsor says, well, that's not true. She's not winning. She's sick. And, you know, that really hit me hard because it's true. She's not winning. She has a lot of problems, and she does not have a 12-step program. She does not have a God that she relies on. I do. I get to live this different way of life. I get to depend on God today for everything. And she doesn't win. I win. Every time I'm nice to her, even though I don't want to be nice to her or I don't think she deserves it, I win, because that makes me comfortable in my skin, and I know that's God's will for me, is to be kind and loving regardless of her action. And that's what I've been taught here in program, that I get to ask for help when my character defects rise up, and God's always there to help me as long as I ask and keep seeking him and do his work. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Danielle M., you're up, followed by Michelle R. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hi, I'm Danielle. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and when I first went through the steps in this program, I did them through the 12 and 12, so I found what was written about step 6 and step 7 helpful to me, because when I read into the big book, I needed more information, because I didn't get much out of that. And now that I've continued working the steps and continuing more about all the different steps, 6 and 7 have become clearer to me, which is really helpful. At the beginning, I think for me, and this is one of my big character defects, was pride, because I thought, well, God doesn't care about removing this defect of character, so I'm just going to try to do it myself. And that, of course, was disastrous, because it just inflamed my character defects. It made them just kind of be there more than they would. And to me, that was a message. You need to let me try to do them, and you need to let go of them. And I think that has been a big process, and something I've really learned from step six and seven is the letting go, something that I have struggled with. And so I appreciate reading this prayer. It's a good reminder of who's going to be doing the removing of my character defects. It's not me, because I do not do it well. And so I definitely need a power greater than myself. And I keep thinking about that word power, and where is my power coming from? Because I do need power. And so those are some of the things that came to my mind about this step. So, and I appreciate the opportunity to share, and I appreciate everyone being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle M. Michelle R., you are up, and if you want to do about 2.5 minutes, Cheryl, we can get Jay in also. So go ahead, please, Michelle.
It won't even be 2.5 minutes. Hi, it's Michelle R. from Ohio. And this is a very special prayer to me, the 7-step prayer. I also, as the person before me, struggle a great deal with letting go. I think a lot of us are perfectionists and want to control and think that everything, you know, that we do is right and it should be our way. Well, every morning I say to myself a couple prayers, and I think I got them from the website. The awakening prayer, God, I ask that you direct my thinking. I especially ask that my thinking be divorced from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motive. That, I mean, to me, this is all about self. It's letting go of ourself. I mean, all of our problems are self, self-motivated, self-made, whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I am grateful to be in this program, and I'm grateful to hear all of you with all of your inspiration and the things that you share. And a real pretty little saying that I just got recently, I found a little plaque, and it's, give God your weakness, and he'll give you his strength. And just remember that, everybody, and we're all in the same boat, and thank you for letting me be part of this journey. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle R. in Ohio. And JL, go ahead, please. Are you still there, Jay? Star one to unmute if you are. Otherwise, I can take one more person who'd like to share.
Laura, compulsive overeater.
Go ahead, please. Thanks.
So the first word in this paragraph is creator, is God, is higher power. So we're going great. We're going right to God and humbly requesting our willingness. And after we've done our inventory, then in 6, you know, we're looking at these defects and saying, how would my life be different without them? And how are other people negatively affected by these defects? And this is step 7, but then once we've acknowledged that, we're asking God to please remove them. And in my recovery, I've always, if I have a difficulty or a problem or an obsession, I go to God first. And any time I've done that, I never fail. I ask God to remove my obsession. And if I'm having cravings or triggers, I can go to God, please God, remove this obsession. So it's not that I have the power to remove anything. And that was kind of, you know, questionable for me in the beginning, that how am I asking God to remove something? Isn't that my responsibility? But what we take an action, we take a contrary action, that if I have a defect, God removes it, but that I can take contrary action. So if I'm having an obsession or a craving to do something and I want to give into that, I can take the action to combat that. And so that willingness in this prayer, I am willing, and that's a beautiful affirmation. I am willing, and I can affirm that today, and that kind of staying within that realm, like as soon as I go to my higher power, I'm given these things, and those are the miracles and the gifts of the program. But it's my willingness to open up to that and to gain access to that. And I love how it's, the prayer says good and the bad, because so much, it's so easy to beat myself up for things or to feel inadequate or to be afraid that I'm not going to succeed or that I won't have that power. But here I'm saying I'm willing to release that burden to you, you know, the creator, the ultimate healer, but that I'm willing to take this action, good or bad. And so it kind of puts defects into perspective that I'm not necessarily bad, but I've got this struggle here that's really painful and it hurts, and I'm willing. I'm willing to give this to you. I'm willing to do that work. And it's kind of, there's hope in it. And, you know, I can also make a decision, just like we do in step 3, to turn those over. I'm willing to have you remove all these defects of character that stand in my way. And I can make that decision to not act on a defect. And
fine, please.
What rec- yeah, so thank you.
And Laura, what was the first initial of your last name?
T.
As in Tom?
As in Tom.
Okay, great. Thank you, Laura T. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. And a special thanks to Team Wednesday. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Robin P., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thanks so much, Kathleen and everyone. I'm Robin P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.